Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
The general NFL Hall of Famer John McClain joins us every Friday in the 4 o'clock hour, and he is presented every Friday in the 4 o'clock hour on Clint Sterner and the show by Horn Solutions. General, how you doing, my man?
Clint, Ron, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are too.
Man, if I was any better, I'd need a twin. I don't want to speak for old show over here, but I think he's doing all right.
I'm a beaut.
Well, show looks all right, I'll tell you that.
Well, he's hanging in there. Let's not get carried away. He's hanging in there. He's doing a good job.
Let's do get carried away.
That's right, yeah.
What Ron Ugly has done has been amazing, and I'm so happy for you, proud of you. You're half the man you used to be.
That's right.
Literally. John, the Texans, I think they're going to probably play a few linebackers on special teams this year. The Texans have signed linebacker Neville Hewitt, former New York Jets linebacker that started all 16 games last year, several starts, six-year pro. What do you know? Catch us up on him. What do you know about him, and what are the Texans thinking with all these linebackers?
It's amazing. Let's see. Whitney Mercilus, Jacob Martin, and Jonathan Grenard moved from 3-4 outside linebackers to defensive end. They got a lot of defensive linemen and linebackers who are new to the defense and have to help them make the transition to the 4-3. Neville Hewitt, 6'2", 235. He played inside in their 3-4. He led the team with 134 tackles. He's 28, entering his seventh season. And he came into the league as an undrafted free agent with Miami in 2015. The fact that Robert Saleh, the new coach, watched the tape and they didn't make an effort to keep him is interesting. But Nick Caserio saw him play because they played against him two times, so he knows what he's getting. And I'm sure he gets, just like in the draft with Garrett Wallow trading up to get him, the TCU linebacker, I'm guessing that Lee Smith had an influence on that because, as Lovey told us, they want linebackers who can run. They're going to be lighter, and they're going to be faster. And when you play in a 3-4, one of you will be rushing most of the time, but the other two a lot have to drop into coverage.
Well, John, this has got to be more of a less of a numbers game and more of a, hey, man, this kid, he started a lot of games in this league and 16 of them last year. This is a quality starter. And he's damn sure a guy that could come in here and compete for a starting job, right? I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know that they necessarily need to keep stacking numbers at these positions because of the transition. But when a starter from 16 games last year becomes available, the Texans are damn sure going to be one of the teams across the league that take a look at it, right?
They have signed Christian Kirksey, who started for the Packers till he got hurt. Kevin Pierre-Louis, he started for Washington last year. Those guys, like Neville Hewitt, are veterans. And you mentioned a competition. That's what Caserio and the coaches want. They want a lot of guys who are going to come in here and provide competition for starting jobs, backup roles, special teams. And I don't know how good the Texans will be. I think they'll be contending for the worst record in the league and the first overall pick. But let's see, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They got like 16 defensive linemen right now.
Good gosh. I mean,
Lovey said, I need players. I need people to be able to play in my defense, I guess.
They got that many
defensive. You got a lot of candidates.
Yeah, and half of them, not half of them, but four of them are outside linebackers transitioning to hand in the dirt defensive ends. It's going to be interesting to see how this front unfolds, man, and see if they can't piece things together. Good thing is you don't, they're not going to have to do a whole hell of a lot to be better than what they were last year in that 3-4.
Oh, my goodness. Remember, the run defense was worse than the NFL. They had 34 sacks, but that run defense was pathetic, and they got to start by stopping a run.
John, have you – seriously, I've said this multiple times on the radio, but have you seen a worse defense? 16-game schedule, big picture, 30,000-foot view. I know you can dial in on one game. It probably – there showed some signs, did some good things. But big picture, over a 16-game season, have you seen a worse defense?
Oh, yeah, I've seen some bad Oiler defenses through the decades. One time they went 6 consecutive years without having a winning record, and they had some really bad defenses. And the Texans, what's amazing is 2 years ago, when Romeo Crennel was the coordinator, they had a really good defense. And then in 2018, they had a great defense. It was third in the NFL against the run. And last year, they were last against the run. And it's amazing how far that run defense fell so fast. And a lot of it was because they got rid of players like Jadeveon Clowney and DJ Reader, and they let a guy like Tyrann Mathieu get away in free agency. So those were moves that hurt the defense. And now this team is in a rebuilding mode. Nobody's job is safe except probably Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, Brandon Cooks, Justin Reed, and Zach Cunningham, I think. Just about every other starting job is up for grabs.
John, yesterday we had Mark Ross and the NFL Network on to talk about the Texans in the draft, and he spoke about Davis Mills, and essentially what I took away from it was he didn't feel like Davis Mills in any way, shape, or form would impact the Texans draft next year, and in particular the first round draft pick that they will have that's theirs, and maybe even more if they get picks in a trade that includes Deshaun Watson. And then I listened to James Palmer again of the NFL Network today, and he talked about Davis Mills possibly getting some run and getting some clock and possibly impacting what the Texans do next year early in the draft in terms of taking a quarterback or not. Where do you sit with the expectations for Davis Mills in 2021 in the season?
First of all, nobody's got a clue what Davis Mills is going to do. We don't know who the offensive linemen are going to be, the wide receivers, the running backs. And they drafted Mills to groom him. And then over the second half of the season, he's going to get playing time because they have to see what he can do. You know, I've went back and looked at a lot of quarterbacks. Like, say, Russell Wilson was a 3, Prescott was a 4, Cousins were a 4, and there's a lot more who did not do well who were taken in the third round. But I don't know anybody could say it couldn't impact next year. What if he gets to play and he looks really, really good and they like him? And so I think that he could impact it if when he plays well. It's not out of the question. The odds are against him with the team he's got around him, but I would never, ever make a think that he's not going to impact next year's number one, because what if he plays well? When Seattle drafted Russell Wilson third round, they had no idea that he was going to be so good so fast. They had just signed, I think it was Mike Flynn, giving him a lot of money as a free agent. And as soon as Wilson got in there, he was really good, but they had a good team around him too. So I think the Texans will end up using their first pick on a quarterback next year, unless Davis Mills shows them a whole lot when he gets a chance to play over the second half of the season. And maybe sooner if Tyrod Taylor gets hurt like he has the last two times he went into a season as a starter.
Yeah, John, I think it's best case scenario if he gets clocked, man. Because best case scenario for the Texans is they use this year's number one overall draft pick, which obviously was in the third round for the team. But they use that on a quarterback, and then they turn around and he pans out. And look, whether he ends up being a Hall of Famer or an All Pro, who cares about all that? If this organization, I don't even care how they get there. I don't care if he's inactive and they just a year experience with him in the building. They go, this kid has what we're looking for, and we want to roll the dice with him as our starter. Then best case scenario, they use those picks next year on a different position, because as you just said, there's so many different needs with this organization. I don't need to look any further than what went on last year in Philly. When they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round, they got Carson Wentz. At least the expectations are for things to go good and the organization to win. And it, the way it ends up unfolding, Carson Wentz is gone. Hurts plays, doesn't really light the league on fire, does some good things, but he somehow did enough for the organization to go, hey, we're gonna make Jalen Hurts our young quarterback on our roster, and we're gonna address other needs with our draft picks. And so I just look at that and go, man, I don't know how Davis Mills is going to impact the draft, good, bad, or indifferent, but I know the next year of his career is going to be critical for the Texans to figure out whether he can or can't help. They got to know. If they can use that early first-round pick next year on a different position because Davis Mills shows them enough, I mean, damn, that's best-case scenario. That's salute to Nick Caserio for the find in the third round in a draft when you had a handful of picks.
Absolutely. And the thing is, I love reading these mock drafts for 2022. I read all I get my hands on. Suddenly I'm writing a column about the quarterbacks who are supposed to be the best next year, and then which ones could be like Zach Wilson and Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray, not be looked at as high number one picks, but all be number one picks after having great seasons. And there's a lot of candidates. There's no Trevor Lawrence, of course. But the thing about Mills, the only thing bad about Mills is he didn't have a lot of experience. Had he gone back to school, he might have been one of the top five picks next year. And I know Mel Kiper's 2022 draft, he loves Davis Mills because he has the Texan with the first overall pick taking a defensive end, a pass rusher from Oregon.
That would be best case scenario. Hell, John, I'm with you on the mock drafts, man. I just if I find somebody that puts one out there that there's some sense in it this early, then it's I guess it's worth looking at. I just looked at one about 10 minutes ago, and they've got Emory Jones. Can anybody tell me what college he goes to?
Virginia.
No. Can you, Tyler? Can you tell me what college he goes to?
Kentucky.
Can you tell me, John, what college he goes to? Florida. He's a quarterback at Florida that backed up Trask last year. They got him slated in the top 10. Mock draft. Top 10, Emory Jones.
He's the only one I've seen on any scouting report, mock draft. None of them have had Emory Jones as a top 10 pick. A couple of them have Spencer Rattler coming to Houston with the first pick, or Sam Howell from North Carolina coming to Houston with the first pick.
Well, yeah, okay, to be fair, I may have got okie-doked with some headline porn, but the headline read, Emory Jones slated as a top 10 pick in the 2022 mock, and I went, no, thank you. I'm not clicking on that. You ain't getting me.
No.
No, thank you. I can't fall for that one.
Guy's not even a starter, and they're picking him in the top 10.
Nope. Hit it. There we go.
Wide 80.
John, real quick, I've commented on this a couple of times, man. I'm curious your thoughts on what the NFLPA is doing. You know, I think I asked you about it last week when after they put out a statement encouraging players to boycott, if you will, the voluntary offseason workout. Since then, the Denver Broncos had an offensive lineman get injured. The contract obviously had some verbiage in it that made the team not liable to pay the $10 million guaranteed contract that he had. This is a whole different can of worms they're opening up right now. J.C. Treader is on record as of, I think, yesterday, last night or today, talking about how players are refusing to report and teams are flustered because of it. What's your general thoughts on the thought of players not reporting to, I don't give a damn what they're titled as, but voluntary workouts in the offseason?
Well, first of all, Texans are not one of those teams. They got so many players over there working out every day. And here's the deal. The union told them to stay out, knowing if they get hurt away from football, they don't get paid if the team doesn't want to pay them. Now, out of the kindness of their heart, they can still pay them. But Juwan James is a test case because he signed a contract to play there in 2019, played three games, blew out his knee, opted out last year. Now he's working out away from the facility, and he suffers an Achilles tendon tear, and they don't have to pay him $9.95 million if they don't want to. They clear up cap space for him. Well, the union is trying to get players to put pressure on the Broncos, and if he'd have been a player, like if it was Von Miller or somebody who was a good player for them, they'd say, sure, we'll pay it. But they don't have to, and no matter what the union says, they don't have to pay the player. It doesn't matter who gave him a workout, what he was doing. The fact is, the players know if you get hurt at the facility, you get paid. If you get hurt away, you don't have to be paid. So he's a test case, and the union wants them to pay him, and the league, of course, wants them not to because they want as many players in working out right now as possible.
That is John McClain, the general. He is here with us throughout the 4 o'clock hour, presented by Horn Solutions. We want to get his thoughts on Davis Mills. How much better does he feel about him now since the Texans have drafted him? The general with us in the 5 o'clock hour.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right. Not only is Clint, myself, and Tyler in, we are joined by the general, John McClain, the Hall of Famer. It is 4 o'clock. The 4 o'clock hour in on Friday, so that means John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions, is with us. And we haven't gotten to talk to you, John, since the draft. And it feels like Davis Mills has become a better draft pick or a better prospect than he was going into the draft. And it feels like now I see everyone saying that he's a steal. Do you feel better about Davis Mills now that he's been drafted by the Texans? Because I know you were one who thought maybe Kellen Mond was one they should have gone with.
Well, I only thought Kellen Mond because he's from Nagy. He's Nagy, and I knew it would create more interest. And Kyle Trask being from Houston, It didn't matter to me who they took. It was just a matter of when they were going to take one. And I thought it was interesting because Allie Mills, his sister, told Dale Robertson, who did a feature on them, that Caserio had called him in the second round before any of that next tier quarterbacks had been taken and said, if you're there, we're going to take you. And so he was there. One of the things about Mills, when he came out of Georgia in high school, he was the highest rated quarterback that year, and he blew out his knee in a championship game. And so he didn't play his freshman year, and then he had to play on the bench, kind of starter. Then he beat the guy out, the other quarterback transferred. And he said he hadn't had any problems in 2.5 years. And like all Pac-12 players, they suffered, like a lot of players actually, other than SEC and the Big 12, of not being able to play but about half their season. And he'd come back next year, and if he'd improved, he might have been a top 5 or 10 player, because he's 6'4", 225. He scored a 36 on his Wonderlic, and that is really smart. And they say he makes good decisions. And one of the things, I've been trying to read a lot about him. I remember a couple people had him going to New Orleans in the first round with a 28th pick. I never thought he was going in the first round. Thought everybody else I saw had him going in the third round, and that's where he went. And a friend of mine, Jimmy Stanton, who was an Astros PR guy, was a Titans PR guy, and then a VP of the Titans. Jimmy's been at the University of Oregon. He started telling me about Justin Herbert before his junior year, and I didn't know who he was, so I paid attention. Then he told me Herbert was going to come back, and he said, you watch, he comes back, he's going to be one of the top picks, and he was right. So after the Texans drafted Mills, Jimmy sent me a text. He said, let me tell you something. This kid can play. And so that from a guy that watched a lot of his games. So I don't know. So much of it depends on system, who's around you. He should benefit from having Pep Hamilton, who's an outstanding quarterback coach, and he's a passing game coordinator. He coached Justin Herbert last year. And so I'm eager to see how he develops, because I can't imagine with his lack of experience he would play early in the season. You know, Caserio traded for Ryan Finley to come from Cincinnati, so obviously he liked Ryan Finley's potential, even though he hadn't started much. So Mills will be number three. He'll have to work his way up. You'd hope Tyrod Taylor can stay healthy and not have a third time where he's the starter and then he gets hurt early in the season. But there's no doubt they're going to have to see Mills. I'm guessing they put him in second half of the season unless they think he's not developing near as fast as they want. If that's the case, they're going to draft a quarterback with the first pick next year.
John, do you think it's a priority? Like, I mean, because here's one of those deals. Like, I don't think any of these quarterbacks are ready, like ultimately ready to just step out of college ball, step straight into pro ball, and just be flat ready to rock and roll. There's going to be a steep learning curve for every one of these guys. The difference is when you're Trevor Lawrence or when you're Zach Wilson, you literally are going to be giving every bit of attention that the organization can afford and has in house, and you're going to be given every single rep. How do you manage that situation? Because I look at it as Davis Mills figuring out who Davis Mills is and what he is over the next 12 months is more important than the difference in winning an extra game this year, or Tyrod Taylor learning the offense, or Tyrod Taylor, you know, being a guy that has a good year this year for the Texans. How do they manage that, figuring out what Davis Mills is and yet Tyrod Taylor getting reps and Tyrod Taylor being the quarterback here of the Texans?
Well, Tyrod Taylor knows all about getting hurt, losing the job to Baker Mayfield, getting hurt, losing the job to Justin Herbert. Herbert had to come in, and he surprised everybody from the get-go. And they didn't make the playoffs, of course, but, man, he was good. Baker Mayfield was pretty good over, I can't remember, I guess, second half of his rookie season. But thing about the Texans, they've got 37 new veterans, 5 new draft choices. That's 42 new players. They're going to be like when the lights come on and the cockroaches start running around. They're going to be bumping into each other. They don't know who each other is, what position they're trying to play. Versatility, as the coaches say. They're going to be moved around. But the single most important player on this team is Davis Mills, because of how much he can impact the 2022 draft when they have 7 picks, including their first pick, which could be number 1 overall. You know, the worst thing to do would be to see Mills and think, okay, this guy can be the guy. We'll take this pass rusher from Oregon, and then you need a quarterback in 2023. Now, Nick Caserio was a quarterback in college. He coached receivers with the Patriots, but they tell me he always worked with third quarterback. He would get out and throw the ball around with them. They told me on game days, he's in the press box with headphones on, communicating with Bill Belichick and offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. And I'm guessing he's going to do that here. He'll be on the headphones communicating with David Culley and with Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator. And he will watch and maybe play a role in the development of Mills. And then having Pep Hamilton, I think when Hamilton and Kelly think he's ready to play, that's when he'll play. If he struggles, they need to sit him back down and put Taylor back in and do it. What they don't want to do is have him go out there, be terrible, hurt his confidence, have him take a step back. And if his confidence is hurt, their confidence is going to, any of them is going to be hurt. So they got it. He's like a baby that's just been born. And next weekend, their 12th through the 14th, their mini camp, when we get to see him out there for the first time, he's going to be like a baby that's growing. He's going to be nurtured. People are going to be taking care of him because he's the most important player on this team this season.
I'm sorry, John. John McClain with us of the Hall of Fame, presented by Horn Solutions. Are you saying you believe that during games this year that Nick Caserio will be communicating with head coach David Culley and the offensive
coordinator? Oh, just like he did at New England. I think he will. I don't see him sitting with the McNairs like Charlie Cashley and Rick Smith, Brian Gain, sitting in his own booth. And Bill O'Brien, of course, was on the sideline. That's their four general managers. So if Caserio was doing that in New England with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, I would expect him to do that here, although we won't know. Until, in fact, next time we talk to him, I'm going to ask him what his expectations are. But I would expect if he did it with the Patriots, he's going to do it with the Texans.
All right, that's John McClain here with us, as he always is in the 4 o'clock hour on Fridays. Remember, text in 713-572-4610. Dear John, any questions you want to hit the general with, sports or non-sports related, text in 713-572-4610. Dear John. A lot going on here with the Texans and John, with John McClain presented by Horn Solutions. We'll talk to him about, he said Pep Hamilton is very, very important to this group. We'll see how important and how big his role may be. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
John McClain, the general, the Hall of Famer, in with us in the 4 o'clock hour, as he generally is on Fridays, presented by Horn Solutions. Remember, dear John, 713-572-4610. You can text
in. See what you did there?
What'd I do?
The general with us, as he generally is.
You like that? I didn't do it on purpose.
Only thing would be better if he was brought. No, never mind. I like Horn Solutions.
Yes. Yeah, we all. Yeah, we love Horn Solutions. But, yeah, text in 713-572-4610. Dear John, anything you want to ask, sports or non-sports related, he'll answer it for you. John, we've seen, it at least appears to me, a growing influence of Pep Hamilton. It seems like his relationship with David Shaw kind of helped with Davis Mills and Nico Collins, he worked directly with, and Tyrod Taylor as well, as who he worked with the Chargers. Is there any chance that he's going to be potentially the play caller and the guy who runs this offense?
No, if he was, he'd be the offensive coordinator, and he's not. Tim Kelly is. Now, I think they brought Tim back because Tim McGuire's been with Bill O'Brien since he was a GA at Penn State because, you know, last year, sometimes we don't realize how great Watson played because it didn't translate to victories. They led the NFL with 70 catches of 20 or more yards without Hopkins, without Fuller for 5 games, without Randall Cobb for 6. They also, despite having the second worst running game in the NFL, they led the NFL in yards per play. And that was primarily because of Watson. So they're going to go to they're going to rely much more on the run. David Culley, of course, comes from the Ravens where they led the NFL the last 2 years. You know, nobody knows what back's going to start or who's going to get the most carry. They just have three veterans, all of whom have had 1,000 yards. Phillip Lindsay and Mark Ingram as recently as 2019. Hamilton is going to develop Davis Mills. He'll work with Tyrod Taylor. Culley coached Tyrod Taylor. He was quarterback coach at Buffalo when they went to the playoffs in 2017. So he's very familiar with Taylor. And Taylor is important, of course, but the development of Mills is the single most important thing this team is going to do this season. And Hamilton, this is one reason they got him, is to help develop a young quarterback.
John, when you look at all the different offensive minds in there, are you concerned with his coaching staff? Culley comes out of several systems, but most recently Baltimore's. Pep Hamilton comes out of, again, several systems, but most recently the Chargers, and then obviously Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien with the Texans offense over the years. And I think James Campen, who hell, he may be the most important. I think he's got to have some like run game responsibilities, run game coordinator type of responsibilities. And that might be the most important thing that needs to improve and get better significantly immediately is the run game. But you've got four different offensive minds in there that I think would have different approaches to offensive football. Do you view that as a good thing or do you view that as something that could get in the way?
Well, it depends on their personalities, and right. it depends on David Culley, because he's the boss. And, you know, if somebody starts to say there's a bad apple in there, he's got to make sure to put him in his place. I think it's better to have four guys who have a lot of experience than to have four guys who don't. And so the fact that they can mesh, that's important. And I've never heard anything but good things about Hamilton. And I am amazed that the Chargers, a lot of people were amazed, and to their new coach, Brandon Staley, they didn't keep him as offensive coordinator after he had done such a tremendous job with Justin Herbert. Now he's got to do a tremendous job with Davis Mills.
Yeah, John McClain with us here on Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader, presented by Horn Solutions. Who was it there in your mind where the picks that the Texans took in their five draft picks, who are you most excited about? Who stuck out to you that you think really got a chance to be a real productive player for the Texans?
Well, first of all, it would be Mills, but that's the way it is with everybody because he's a quarterback. Quarterbacks create a buzz. And so Nico Collins, they traded 2 4s and a 5 to get a third-round pick to take him. And as you mentioned earlier, Pep Hamilton was on the Michigan staff when he was there, but that was for a year. Ben McDaniels, Josh McDaniels' brother, who is assistant receivers coach and an offensive assistant, he was there with Collins for 3 years. And so I would imagine he played a role because he's known Caserio for a long time because of Caserio being with Josh McDaniels all those years with the Patriots. And so I'm sure both of those guys gave him a great recommendation. But being 6'4 and 217 and running a 4.42 and having a really good Senior Bowl week, that makes you stand out. They've never had a receiver that tall who was good. Now, he opted out last year, so I don't know how long it'll take him to play, but they needed an outside receiver. The only receiver guaranteed to start right now is Brandon Cooks. There's no guarantee Randall Cobb or Kiki QT or even on the team. I'm eager to see how Isaiah Coulter improves, if at all, in his second season. The pick that surprised me the most was Brevin Jordan, just because they've got so many tight ends. Caserio traded for Ryan Izzo with the Patriots, and he signed a veteran, Anthony Auclair. Another one, Paul Quisenberry, is primarily a fullback who can play some tight end, and he re-signed Pharaoh Brown, and then Jordan Akins is returning starter because they played a lot of two tight end sets. And then there's Collie Waring, and Waring has been working out like crazy over at the facility, which he should be. When you have a new coaching staff and a new general manager, and they bring in 42 new players, free agents, and draft choices, and your spot on the roster's iffy, you better be over there working like a fiend throughout the offseason.
And how many spots on this roster right now aren't iffy, John? Or better yet, tell me which ones aren't, because most of them are.
I would say Laramie Tunsil and Titus Howard at tackle. I would say Brandon Cooks at receiver. Jordan Akins tight end, that's 4. Cunningham and Reed, that's 6. Every other job is up for grabs.
Yeah, you can bet it's single digit, right? John, every time you come on, we always want to hit a little college ball with you, man. And on the college front, for the most part, ball has been quiet. But Jimbo Fisher, he spoke to the Houston Touchdown Club here, I think it was a couple days ago, and he made a comment about Nick Saban and about beating Alabama while Nick Saban is there. Pretty confidently, you know, made the comment. And then Saban, I think pretty creatively had this response.
Coach, got to ask, your friend Jimbo said yesterday that at some point while you're in Tuscaloosa, he was going to beat your butt. That wasn't the word that he used, but did you have any response for that?
In golf?
I think he meant on the football field.
Well, I'm sure there'll come a day, you know. But is that what he's talking about? Football?
He was talking about football.
Oh, he was? Well, he used to be on my noontime basketball league, I guess. You know, we're no longer partners.
That got under Tyler's skin over there. I told Tyler yesterday when Jimbo did that, he's over there poking a bear. I don't know if that's a good idea.
A terrible idea.
Less than 24 hours later, Saban, you know, obviously catches wind of it. And responds, man. Just big picture, A&M poking the bear of Saban is probably not a real good idea, is it?
Well, they're good buddies, and I'm sure he was kidding. He'd like to win anywhere against Alabama. And something I told Tyler during a break, I looked at a mock draft that had the Aggies with four first-round picks, and that's never happened. I didn't know they had four players who could be worthy of first-round status, so that means even though they're going to have a new quarterback, they got talent. But, man, oh, man, that team that Alabama had last year, I thought LSU the year before may have been the best team in history. And then when you think about Alabama, they may have been the best team in history, certainly the best offense in history with six players going in the first round. So I'd love to see the Aggies beat Alabama. You know, they did it with Johnny Football in Tuscaloosa, but, man, that's going to be really hard to do. And, of course, people are going to be throwing that back up at Jimbo until they play the game. And if they lose, they'll be asking about it afterward. And maybe he'll say something. Well, you know what? I'm in on a golf course.
Yeah, it is clear Nick Saban cares. I didn't think Nick Saban would care about it, but it is clear he cares. And they'll be ready. When is that game? October 9th? They'll be ready for that one. They'll be ready for that one. And A&M, I feel bad for that. We do this each and every Friday at this time, 713-572-4610. You can text in. It's Dear John.
Let's kick off the weekend by asking the most respected Houston sports writer of all time anything you want. Submit your questions to the text line 713-572-4610. Include hashtag Dear John along with name and city. And for today's Dear John, let's open up the mailbag.
All right, General. John in Friendswood says, Dear John, do you believe the Texans have a chance at going 0-17 this year?
Well, John, they'd be the first 0-7 team in history, of course, but I'm going to say no. I do think they have a chance to equal or better the worst mark in team history, which was 2-14 two times, 2005 and 2013.
I mean, Tyrod Taylor, he's better than that.
Well, look, man,
Rod Taylor.
Look, here's the deal. You gotta try to be that bad. Like this team.
You think the Lions tried to be that bad when they went 0-16?
Yes, I do. I think you reach a point where you try to be that bad. Like here's the deal: is if Nick Caserio's not going to turn this thing around to where they're playoff contenders or anything, but it's not going to be difficult to have an opportunity to win eight games this year. There will be. I played with three straight 5-11 football teams in Dallas, and there was at the flip of a coin, there was four or five games every year that if we were coached right, if we'd have been prepared, if we'd have had a solid group, you know, if you were doing things right on a daily basis and it wasn't dysfunctional, we'd have found a way to win a couple of those games. I think what Nick Caserio is doing in terms of flipping the locker room, changing the culture, building this thing from the inside out, I think that could result in them getting back to a respectable 500 football team a lot quicker
Whoa.
Than people think.
You predicting 500
no,
this
no,
season?
No, I'm not predicting. I'm not putting any money on it. I'm simply saying that everybody Good. Thinks, oh, well, they won four games last year with Deshaun Watson, so they're not going to win any this year. I completely disagree with you. You can take one great player away, flip the locker room, and build the core nucleus of that team, and that football team be better than they were the year before when it was a one-man show.
I mean, they host
one reason.
Go ahead, John.
One reason they had such a bad record, they were 3-8 in one score games year before. They've been 8-3. So you got to win some of those close games, and that's when talent, luck, injuries come into effect. They don't want to finish 8-8, I'll guarantee you.
They host the Jags and Jets. Man, they got to get one of those.
Look, I don't – hell, they may lose every single one of them. I don't know. I'm just all I'm saying is don't underestimate the power of flipping the locker room and guys doing things right and guys competing their ass off to be a part of the team, guys being in shape. I mean, Whitney Mercilus was in awful shape last year. I mean, that was a part of that defense that they were relying on heavily. You can bank on this year, guys being in shape and that not being a problem. You can bank on, or at least you better, hell, maybe I shouldn't put the cart before the horse, but you can bank on guys showing up and playing with energy, playing with passion, playing fast, tackling well, just with the upgrade of the coaching staff. I mean, there's a lot of things that can help you win ball games this year that weren't present last year. And I'm not talking about Deshaun Watson. I'm just talking about in general, they were doing things in loser fashion, and that shouldn't be the case moving forward.
That's what we've been told with Cully, right? That's why he's here. He's a motivator. He's going to get the best out of the guys. So, right. And one thing we know for sure, they won't be a 500 team because there's 17 games, guys.
Great call. Great call. See, McClain, you tried to get me, General. You tried to trick me right there.
I forgot.
All right, let's go over to Sugarland. Blaine says, Dear John, does the Texans drafting Davis Mills mean they are expecting the worst with the Deshaun Watson situation?
Deshaun Watson's going to get traded. We've been saying for weeks, when his legal problems are behind him, he's going to be traded. It could be before the season, could be before the trading deadline. October could be before the next draft. When they think they can get the best deal for him, he's going to be traded. By drafting Davis Mills, anybody that thought, well, maybe they'll keep Watson. Watson doesn't want to be here. He has not wanted to be here. All of a sudden, he's not going to change his mind and say, oh, well, gosh, let me change my mind and tell them I want to stay. No, it's not happening.
John, what do you think the best case scenario is with that? I mean, and look, we've asked you that before, but hell, it changes every day because the situation changes. But, you know, when you look at Deshaun Watson right now, I think it's going to be obviously a trade, but a mutual parting of ways where I don't think that Deshaun's going to have to beg him to trade him any longer. And I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to hold him hostage with a no trade clause. But what's best case scenario? Just get beyond it as quickly as you can, get a little bit of draft capital in return, or hold out until you think that there's, the draft capital that you can get in return is at its highest.
Well, they're not going to get anywhere near what they would have gotten before this draft with five teams taking quarterbacks. Two of the teams that were the most interested, Carolina and Denver, traded for veterans, but I'll guarantee you they'd still like to have Watson, especially the Broncos. So you got a coach, Vic Fangio, everybody says job's in jeopardy. You got a new GM, George Payton, with a long-term contract who'd like to get a quarterback. So I would think they would be a team, but the truth is, Washington is another one to me. You got Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heineke, two former Texans. Would you rather have them or Watson? If Washington had Watson, they'd be a Super Bowl contender with that defense. So there are teams out there that should be interested, for people wondering, could they swap him for Aaron Rodgers? Ain't happening.
You know, yeah, there are going to be some teams out there, John, but how close – do you think the value would be to what it was? Like at this point, if they get this thing settled.
Nowhere close. No, it's not going to be anywhere near what it was. Teams that had multiple first-round picks, there were so many deals that were made, they're going to have to settle for less, and I would make them conditional picks based on what he and the team accomplished.
Do you think they can't get multiple first-round picks anymore for Deshaun?
Oh, I think maybe they could. Now going to get them both in the same year. You could get one for 2022 and one from 2023. You need more than one team, of course, bidding. And I think they would. The longer you wait and quarterbacks don't play well or they get hurt, the more you could get. But I'm sure they would like to. And I'm sure Watson, you know, Watson wants to move on and get with another team. And I think that they're not going to give him away. But I think they would like to have this put behind them as well so they can focus on their rebuild.
All right, John McClain, we appreciate you, and always get a joy to talk to you on Friday in the 4 o'clock hour. Be safe, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Ron, Clinton, Tyler, thank you guys very much as always, and I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. That is John McClain, brought to you by Horn Solutions. Two really good updates. Two really good updates and great news on the two best pitchers on the staff for the Houston Astros. We'll tell you that and what it is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.